Brothers and sisters in Christ, a few years ago now, I was introduced to the phrase, fake it until you make it. Fake it until you make it. Now, the idea behind the phrase was simply that in order to take on more responsibility, even a higher paying job, requiring that you have certain skills that you know you can learn, but you don't actually have and could only learn by being given the opportunity to learn them, you have to act like you already have them. In other words, you have to fake. You have to fake like you have them until you do. Fake it until you make it. Now, there's some honesty there, isn't there? I mean, I think we've all been there at one time or another when we've been asked to do something that we've never done before. And when asked, we realize that we're the only ones in the room who know that we haven't done it before. I mean, that information is ours alone, no one else's. So what do? We just do it. At least we try. If we're somewhat close to succeeding, if we come somewhat close to succeeding, it's assumed that we actually know what we are doing. The point, the story is, what is going on within us? What's going on within us when we're faking it to make it? The conflict, the tension, the reality of knowing we have not done something before and hiding that fact from those around us who think we have in hopes of somehow succeeding. Now, something similar is referenced in our text for tonight, and that is that within us, within each and every one of us, we are hiding something. We're hiding something. And what we're hiding, each and every one of us, is sin. Our sin. Our wrongful thoughts and incorrect feelings, our emotions, our desires, and we're pretty good at hiding them from those around us. And yet sin is there inside of us, isn't it? It's there every single day. It's faking it. Faking like we have mastered sin in all its forms, thinking that someday we will make it eventually, that is, overcome sin within us completely. Let's be blunt here. There are many Christians who pursue this mastery every day, or more commonly, I would say, just ignore the conflict within them entirely, saying and doing what they want as long as they remain in good standing with their family and friends and fellow churchgoers. It's kind of a take me as I am type of situation, which no thought really is given to sinful expressions or thoughts or actions in a life of massive self-unawareness. In other words, for them, there is no faking it until they make it, for there's no thought of making it. That is of living a godly life, life of holiness and righteousness. There's no need to fake. They're even attempting it. Or their attempts are so simplistic and inconsistent that they are almost comical. Church can be missed for years, for example, but when a beloved pet dies and is buried in the backyard, a cross must be placed over its grave. Moving on. Or moving back. Here's a bit of insight that our text from the book of Romans gives us. Christians are not faking it until they make it. Christians are not faking being holy until they actually are holy. No, Christians simply are confronted with and deal with the sin that adheres to them every single day, like it were some disease that has taken hold of their bodies. A disease that has a law or a mind of its own. Shut-in I used to visit monthly years back was confined to a wheelchair, her body racked by the effects of MS, her hands splayed at strange angles from her arms and were so splayed because of the disease. And yet daily many times she would wheel over to her microwave, put a heating pad in it, place it on her wrists, and then slowly, with the movement gained from the heat, type out emails to her children and her grandchildren, one painful keystroke at a time. You see, what she wanted to do, what her mind would accomplish, and what her body suffering from MS would allow her, two different things. Two different things. And she would talk about her body in that way, that her body was doing its own thing, even though in her mind she would be doing something else. Well, sin acts in the same way. And this is what the Apostle Paul is getting at there in Romans 7, culminating with his summary statement, which is our text, and that is, "So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, it might be a bit clear to understand what the Word of God is saying here if we put it this way, "With my mind I serve God, and with my flesh I serve sin." But then that can, and so often is, misconstrued as if, since our bodies, our flesh, are all about the pursuit of sin, about desiring this and hungering after that, pursuing this and yearning after that. Yes, since our bodies, our flesh, can be all about the pursuit of sin, we can fall into the trap of thinking, well, since that's what I feel, that's what I want, that's what I desire, that's what I should do. No. For these desires are simply the law of sin. That is, listen up, the way sin works, like the law of gravity. For the law of gravity is not a law that dictates or causes gravity. The law of gravity simply describes how it is that gravity is. So the law of sin in our passage. Perhaps a better translation there would be the fact of sin or the reality of sin. It's just our situation. So our daily struggle with sin is not our faking righteousness. It is simply our daily struggle with sin. And that is what it is, a daily struggle. Why? Because we're weak? Because we don't have faith? Because we don't care? No, because of the law of sin. Think the law of gravity. Sin we inherited from our parents. Sin we have, and so sin affects what we will experience our entire lives until we die, like that shut-in with MS. Only death, our death, will bring about the death of sin within us. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, we turn to the one in faith who, in fact, did overcome sin in his body. In fact, in Jesus, we have the one who took on the sin of the entire world in his body, and not allowing it to express itself, not allowing it to take over or rule or control him, Christ, in sheer determination, carried that sin, your sin, my sin, to the cross, and nailed it there. And his resurrection from the dead, the consequence of sin, death, showed that Christ had so conquered it. If Christ had not risen from the dead, then sin would have indeed won, but Christ did rise again from the dead, and now would send us his Spirit through his Word, through his sacrament, through the Lord's Supper, so that we can be strengthened to continue to fight against the reality of sin within us, the law of sin. Remember, law of gravity. Every single day. Yes, it's there. That doesn't mean that it's in control or that it runs things or defines us. Yes, listen up here. Sin is our handicap. Sin is our spiritual handicap, as if we would say something like, yes, I'd like to be like Jesus, to be perfect and holy, but I have a handicap, a spiritual handicap, and it's called sin. Perhaps you've heard about it. Sin causes me to think things and sometimes to say things and even do things that I really don't want to do. Sin is my handicap. Well, if we would think of sin as our spiritual handicap, we should then do what so many insist that we do with handicaps today, and that is that we do not let our handicap define us. We don't let sin define us. Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we have that spiritual handicap, but no, that's not going to prevent us from serving each other in love, from rejoicing in the salvation which is ours through Jesus, from relishing the peace which passes all understanding. We are daily going to fight against our handicap so that we can be patient and be kind and be good and gentle and exhibit self-control. And in so doing, we're not faking a Christian faith that we don't possess, no. So doing, we are merely exhibiting the faith that is within us, a faith empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, which would have us daily overcome the handicap of sin with which we are born, keeping it in check as we live, making it daily a matter of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus, faith that he will continue to guide and guard and strengthen us with his Spirit so that we can live as if we had no handicap. That is, we can live doing the things we should do, saying and thinking them, and not the things we should not. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.